Talk Radio Network.
Good morning, Martha and the Vandellas. Remember them? Dancing in the streets. They're running in the streets in Ukraine and ducking and hiding. But they're dancing apparently in the streets here in the U.S. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is the first full day of spring today, Monday, March the 21st. Does it feel any warmer to you out there? We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Christian Watson of Color Us United. We're going to talk about the American Express Company, you know, the American Express card, and how it's dropping capitalism and picking up wokeism. Yeah. So stay tuned for that few minutes. And Senate hearings begin today in the Supreme Court nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson. Here's the question. Will Republicans treat her with kid gloves, or will they treat her the same way that Democrats treated people most recently on the Supreme Court? We'll get some thoughts on that, by the way, and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show. His name is Andrew Ceraci. May have his brother, Angelo, with us as well. We'll see. And the Pope has expanded the role of women at the Vatican. Here's the question. Is it enough in the 21st century? We're going to discuss it. We're going to take a look at it. So stay tuned for that. And in our Ultimate Top 10, last show, Friday, we gave you the most affordable cities, the top 10. We're going to give you the top 10 least affordable cities towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I guarantee you, in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, that's where you go. Andrew's Master Barbershop, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call first for your appointment, please, 727-733-3773. By the way, they are open Tuesday through Saturday. Well, unfortunately, the war continues to go in a terrible pace in the Ukraine. Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Vereshchuk has dismissed calls by Russia to surrender Mariupol, the city of Mariupol, to the Russians. He said there can be no talk of any surrender, laying down of arms, or anything else. He said they will just open a corridor there to get people out of the city safely. In the meantime, the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, who's becoming the world's hero, by the way, has vowed during a video conference today that Ukraine would eliminate that pilot who bombed an art school in Mariupol over the weekend, where around 400 civilians were huddled. He says they, meaning the civilians, they are under the rubble. And we don't know how many of them have survived. But we know that we will certainly shoot down the pilot who dropped that bomb, like about 100 other such mass murderers whom we already have downed. So he continues to talk rather heroically. Speaking of Zelensky, he has evoked the Holocaust Yesterday, he called on Israel to take a stronger stand against Russia, delivering an emotional appeal that compared Russia's invasion of Ukraine to the actions of Nazi Germany. He said it's time for Israel to finally take sides. He said, one can ask for a long time why we can't accept weapons from you, or why Israel did not impose sanctions against Russia. He accused Putin of trying to carry out what he called a final solution against Ukraine. That's the Nazi term, as you may know, for the planned genocide of Jewish people during World War II. So he wants Israel to think about it in terms of what happened in World War II. So a rather interesting situation there as well. So I guess Biden is off to Brussels, Belgium, and possibly to Poland a little bit later. There's more than a million Ukrainians in Poland right now. They've escaped over the border. He's certainly taking his time getting over there. I don't think he's got any big announcement. Apparently not, anyway. In the meantime, we're going after Venezuelan oil? That's rather interesting. The Biden administration is flirting with lifting oil sanctions on Venezuela. Very good. Nothing like going over and helping Venezuela. God help us that we don't drill our own oil and get our own gasoline, get our pipelines opened up so that we can get more deliveries from Canada. That would make too much sense. Let's go get it from Venezuela. And while we're at it, let's stop over in Iran and get some from them, too. I'm sure they'll be more than willing to be fair to us, because both Venezuela and Iran really love the United States, right? So, says here, even if the Biden administration wanted Venezuelan oil and started lifting sanctions, the country is nowhere near being in a position to ramp up production in time to help temper the current spike in oil prices. The U.S. produces more than 12 million barrels of oil per day on average, while consuming about 20 million. So that means we need an additional 8 million barrels a day from somebody, right? Seems to me that we could get more from Canada, which is a lot more friendly to us than either Venezuela or Iran, by opening up some pipelines and getting that going again. You know, we could have had this whole Keystone Pipeline situation with oil coming through it right now had it not been for the... You remember when Barack Obama, they kept doing all this testing and all of the time, and the Keystone Pipeline kept testing fine. Everything seemed to be ready for approval. But yet, the Obama administration would not approve it. They wouldn't approve it because they never had any intention, no matter what the results were, of the safety of the pipeline. They never had any intention of allowing it. But just think, if they had allowed it by now, we'd have it working. We'd have oil coming through. Very frustrating. And, of course, Biden was part of the Obama administration. He knows darn well. Very frustrating. Very frustrating. So, anyway, we're over there thinking of lifting sanctions on Venezuela. Oh, boy. We'll see where all of it goes. Let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Christian Watson of Color Us United.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl a ride in the way.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. A little bit cooler than usual today for the first day of spring here in Tampa Bay. Kind of nice. We are delighted to welcome Christian Watson. He is the host of a podcast called Pensive Politics. He's also a spokesperson for Color Us United, and we are going to talk about the American Express Company and how it is kind of changing its spots a little bit from capitalism more towards wokeism. Christian, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. With all the things that are going on in Ukraine, I guess we're not looking too much at a lot of other things. I did notice that a couple of credit card companies are canceling any relationship with Russia. Now, I don't know how much Visa and MasterCard and some of those, I think the Discover card, I don't know how much they're used in Russia anyway, but apparently we're doing that. Do you think American Express is doing the same thing?
From what I have seen, I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if they're doing something like that, although I do think these companies that are pulling out of Russia, some of whom are leaving their assets there, are just basically emboldening the Russian regime. And they're allowing Putin to absorb their assets and nationalize them. And that he's threatened to do that, actually.
Oh, really?
Which is one of the reasons why the Coke industries have refused to pull out their holdings in Russia, because they don't want to give Putin more resources, more assets. So that's a pretty concerning thing, you know, in the name of virtue, to pull out of Russia and then get your entire assets absorbed. That's quite interesting.
So in other words, if, say, Coke pulled out, he'd go over there and seize the Coke bottling company and the factories and all that? Is that what you...
Well, when I say Coke, I mean KOC, not Coke, the bottling company. But, no, yeah, Russia is threatening to, and there's legislation going through the Duma right now, to nationalize companies that leave Russia and belong to hostile territories, mm-hmm. which they've defined as any territory that has sanctioned them. That's pretty concerning, just in general.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to the American Express company. Apparently, they have new policies, including a requirement that their employees attend a capitalism-bashing seminar delivered by the great-grandson of Elijah Muhammad. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. So American Express is doing a variety of egregious things to push, well, for lack of a better word, woke ideas upon their employees. They invited Khalid Muhammad, who is indeed the great-grandson of Elijah Muhammad, the founder of the Nation of Islam, the virulently anti-Semitic and anti-American organization, to give them a seminar about why capitalism is racist and how they, as American Express employees who work in a capitalistic structure, can correct the racisms of their system. Not only that, but they are also holding seminars called Building Allyship, where they basically pit employees against each other on the basis of their identity. So if you're marginalized according to this allyship training, your voice matters more than if you're not marginalized, i.e. if you have a skin color that has been historically dominant, or whatever that means. And so, you know, they're also giving out bonuses to hire people on the basis of diversity hires, not on the basis of merit. So there's a lot of bad things going on American Express. And what Color Us United is doing, we're saying that this stuff is divisive, it creates a toxic workplace, and it has no place in one of the sterling examples of American capitalism, which is why we're pushing back and helping concerned American Express employees also push back as well.
Yeah. You know, I've always thought of American Express as some big wig executive, you know, pulling out his American Express card. Remember all those commercials for some time, you know, always kind of gave the impression that if you got an American Express card, you were really somebody, you know, you were somebody special. Do you think, I guess I'm trying to look at the reasoning behind why American Express would be doing this. Do they want to come out as like being as accessible, more of a common company, more devoted to common people? I mean, what seems to be the rationale behind this wokeism?
Well, if you believe what they say in their diversity report, where they said that they're spending $1 billion on diversity programs, it's because they want to ensure marginalized people, quote unquote, are represented in the financial services industry. Now, of course, you can either take them for face value or not take them for face value. What I think it is, from what I have seen, is that this is not simply American Express. This is a broader corporate issue. Bank of America is doing this. All other kind of groups are doing this. And they're doing it because they want to avoid the market repercussions that come with not adhering to woke mobs, with not adhering to woke principles. Because if they don't do that, they would be seen as, I don't know, all manner of negative adjectives. So they're trying to stave off perceived market failure. But here's the problem with that. Most Americans don't care about that kind of stuff. Only a very small subset of Americans even care about the social activism, or social activists that like to push people into their own beliefs. So they're overestimating the power of these people and then acting accordingly. It's like they have an illusion in their head and they're treating the illusion as reality. It's really concerning.
Yeah, it does sound concerning. This is rather unnerving. After the seminar, American Express implemented a ranking system for their workers, which asked them to examine themselves through their race or sexual identity. I wonder if a lot of the employees went, geez, what are we doing? What's going on here? I mean, I guess they must have hired, obviously, some sort of diversity group or opened a diversity department some time ago. And then, all of these ideas must have come from there, right? Something like that?
Well, that they started an initiative, which they have poured $1 billion into, which includes everything. It includes the Building Allyship Program. It includes grants to minority-owned businesses and corporations. It includes so many things under the package of helping people who are allegedly historically marginalized. So it's actually an internal decision by American Express. Again, the interesting question is, why are they doing this? Are they doing it because they genuinely believe these people need help, or are they doing this because they want to stave off the rage they would get from a subset of the political aisle if they did not do them? I think the latter is more reasonable.
Sure. We're talking with Christian Watson. He is the host of the Pensive Politics podcast. Boy, I said that without screwing it up. And also a spokesperson for Color Us United. We're talking about the American Express Company and how it seems to be turning its back a little bit on capitalism. I mean, you know, capitalism is what was able to create the empire of American Express and MasterCard and Visa, you know, and the open markets and the competition and all the good things that came about. You would think that companies like American Express would be protective of that philosophy, right?
You would think so. There's an old proverb. It's one of my favorites. It says, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. And what that basically says is a really universal statement. It basically says that we all have the tendency to try to do good, but do it in a way that is actually foolish. Do it in a way that's actually detrimental to our own aims and our own progression. And so let's say you have a context, as we do right now in society, that says that there has been a group of people of all sort of identities that have been marginalized and oppressed by the mainstream orthodoxy for so many decades, and that it is your duty as a corporation that interacts with them to help them. You may completely forego your own aims or forget your own interests or forget the principles of your company just to seem wise and benevolent. But the problem is, when you don't critically examine what you do, you can easily go from being benevolent to malevolent and not even know it. That's the danger of delusion. That's the danger of illusion in action. And that's what American Express is doing. And we got to fight back with hardcore, concrete, resolute truth.
Yeah, you would think so. Is American Express losing market share? I'm just trying to think of the reason that they're doing this. Are they worried about their market share? I mean, is there anything you can see other than, you know, just going along with the pack?
No, I really think it is just going along with the pack because they're trying to preempt a potential PR disaster. Because, again, if companies don't, we've had almost every single company, whether it be Walmart, Home Depot, Bank of America, we've had Disney, all kinds of companies buy into these political principles because they don't want to be excoriated and seen as bad. And when we've had companies throughout history that have stood up for their values, they have been excoriated. I mean, like, for example, Chick-fil-A, you remember many years ago, when Chick-fil-A's founder said that he believed in traditional marriage, and everyone got mad. It was a big outroar. Now, interestingly enough, that actually didn't hurt Chick-fil-A at all. It made the numbers go higher. But here's the thing. The founder had a lot of gall to say what he believed, and his customers supported him. Most Americans don't care about narrow political agendas. Most Americans simply care about you giving them the service you promised them to. If American Express realized that, I doubt they would be doing this right now.
Yeah. Well, like you say, there is this, I think the media, they're worried about media reaction. You know, they've got a brand name. And if that brand name is sullied in any way, their stock drops, their profits drop. You know, it's like, It's very, very hard sometimes to shake something bad. So I see how they have to walk on eggshells, you know, like a lot of these other companies. You have to tip your hat to Chick-fil-A because did stand up for what they believed was correct. It wasn't exactly the same thing, maybe, you know. They always because they've always been rather open about hiring all kinds of people, right?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if Chick-fil-A did that today, the consequences would probably be a little bit more harsh because the Twitter age, social media age has gotten stronger over the year. It was still developing back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the backlash will be a little bit harsher, than it would have been back then. They got some pretty harsh backlash, but it would be even more ferocious right now in the current environment we live in, I think.
I think in the thing I was reading that you had something to do with here, it mentions some of the great black men and women in American history, Frederick Douglass, George Washington, Carver, Harriet Tubman. But their values aligned with a capitalistic, conservative, work hard, ethic approach, you know, the kind of thing. And they certainly became great. People in the black communities look to those people as great historical figures, and yet they were the ones that evoked that capitalistic, hardworking spirit.
Absolutely. And I've always said that capitalism is built on ancient principles of finding what you're good at and then using that to create value for other people. That is literally the building block of civilization. Without that transaction, that relationship between genius and service, there would be no civilization. Civilization would not exist as we know it. And so this principle was not always called capitalism, but eventually capitalism was the system that magnified it and made it as important as it is. But it's existed since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why thinkers like Tubman, like, Booker T. Washington, like Douglass, were able to identify these principles and use them for self-progression, even in an age when that was almost impossible for people who looked like them.
Well, Christian Watson, you are so right about this. I think we do have to re-examine, recapture our spirit, our entrepreneurial, capitalistic spirit. Indeed, it's why we became number one. And when we start losing that, we start losing our place in the world and in history. Thank you so very much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Christian Watson. All right. We're going to take our break when we come back. Senate hearings. In fact, they're starting in about half an hour. for the nomination to the Supreme Court of Ketanji Brown Jackson. Here's the question. Are they going to treat her the same way that Democrats treated the last couple of Supreme Court justices, or are they going to be nice to her? We'll talk about that with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
Many of you died. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back March the 21st. Wow, we are rolling through the year, are we not? First full day of spring, by the way. So in about 30 minutes, the Supreme Court confirmation hearings begin for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. That'll be in the Senate. The question is, will she get the same kind of treatment by Republicans that the last couple of Supreme Court justices got under Trump by the Democrats? I kind of doubt that. I think they're going to be a lot more deferential. Whether or not they should be, that is another question. We've got both of the Ceresi brothers here, by the way. We've got Andrew and Angelo. Guys, thanks for coming on. I don't know how big of a deal it is for you on the nomination, but thought I'd get some thoughts. You remember how nicely Democrats treated, what's his name? I can't even think of his name. Neil Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh, isn't it? Neil Kavanaugh. Yeah. You think it's going to be anywhere close to that for this woman?
It should be. It should really be.
Yeah, go ahead, Angelo.
Democrats understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess here is my thought, guys. She was selected not because of any intellectual greatness that she has. I'm sure there are a lot many better nominees out there, but she's a black woman. What the hell is that? This is complete. I mean, even Biden said, I'm going to have a black woman on the Supreme Court. So I'll just go around, look for one, find one, bring her on, right? Well, what the hell? I mean, what if the best person happened to be an Asian man that should have been on the court? No chance for him, right?
Absolutely no chance at all.
Yeah.
I mean, she was picked because she was a black and a woman. That's it.
What do you think, Andrew? Do you think...
Well, first of all, they shouldn't even confirm this woman.
They shouldn't.
I mean, if you look at her track record, she was very, very lenient on pedophiles.
Yeah.
Okay, lenient on a couple other things. Just because she's black, we're going to put her in there. First of all, the Republicans need to nail her to the cross for what she's done with the pedophiles. I don't think this woman should be a Supreme Court judge at all.
Yeah, Senator Josh Hawley might do that. He's a Republican from Missouri. He said this, problem is, I haven't been able to find a single case where she has had a child porn offender, a pedophile, in front of her, where she hasn't given him the most lenient sentence she possibly could. And so the question is why? Well, apparently she feels that the penalties are too harsh for these kinds of sexual offenders. And she's made a noticeable effort to try to lift that. She's also, by the way, another thing, she has not directly answered whether or not she believes in court packing. In other words, adding members to the Supreme Court. What do you think about that, Angela? Are those two good reasons to really think twice about this woman?
Absolutely, 100%. Just the beginning. And the third one would be she's being appointed because she's black. What qualifications? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Those three things alone should disqualify. And the Republicans should just disqualify her on that premise.
On that, Ben. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, Paul, if you're looking at things, okay, they're appointing her because she's black. But if you look at today's society, police chiefs, fire chiefs, throughout the country, there are probably more black than there are white chiefs. Okay?
Especially in the major cities.
Just because somebody is a certain color does not make them qualified, or they have to meet a quota to fill these positions. I mean, people in this country, black, white, yellow, or red, have the same opportunities of education and chances to do what they've got to do. But just to pick somebody on their color, I'm sorry, that is not right.
Yeah.
That's very biased. It's very discriminating. It's discrimination. I mean, look at the police chief that got awarded in Hillsborough County in Tampa. Okay, they had a great guy in there as an interim chief. Rodriguez was doing a fantastic job. Okay,
yeah,
everybody thought he was great. He should be appointed chief. But what does the mayor do? Okay, well, you know, yep. She's gay. So what does she do? She appoints a woman. I believe she might be gay. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you're just appointing people because, well, they're just like me, so I'm going to help my people. That's all you're doing, maybe, is helping your people. You're not helping the country. You're not helping your city.
Has there been a big backlash? I know that guy was disappointed, that Hispanic policeman, that he didn't get the opportunity. It sounded like it would have been a good choice. I mean, even politically
It would have been the best choice, Paul. But the fact of the matter is, look what you have as the mayor of Tampa. Tampa's a woke city, and this wokeism needs to go. The wokeism is destroying this country, and I can't believe for such a small percentage of people that they're letting this take over.
Yeah, we spoke about just that topic, you know, before you came on, regarding the American Express Company and its woke, its left woke turn.
What is with these companies doing? Why are they trying to patronize maybe 1% of the population?
Fear. Intimidation. Fear and intimidation.
Of 1%?
They're afraid of what the media, which is, as you know, a huge liberal bent, they're afraid of their reputation going down because the media would start writing stories about them.
You know, Paul, people could care less about the media.
I think you're right. We talked about...
Look at the Hunter Biden case, okay? You got Hunter Biden. The New York Times admits they covered it up to get Biden elected and get Trump out, okay? And they're still covering him. Now they know that it's all true, that it's all real. What do you hear about it? Nothing.
Crickets.
Okay.
Very, very, very little.
The fraudulent things that they found with the 2020 election. Do you hear anything? No. Okay? We're not even hearing COVID no more. They have got such a cover and disguising everything with Ukraine right now that they're swinging everything by that they want to, and people aren't even paying attention.
So I just want to get back to this Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's about 20 minutes they're going to start talking with her. She also praised, remember the 1619 Project? You ever heard about that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. She's praised that. And a lot of people are saying, you know, that's a distortion of history, trying to send things back before the Founding Fathers and the Declaration of Independence and this, that, and the other thing. But I guess some of that stuff will be brought up. I doubt. I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
They can bring up all they want about anything that she's done, but I got $100 says you're going to find Republicans that go to confirm her.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'd bet money on it.
Yeah. You know,
and
she's not...
I'll tell you who the Republicans will be.
Yeah, go ahead.
Susan Collins, Lisa McCluskey, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
They were going to vote for her.
The usual suspects.
That's right.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that they better enjoy the positions they have now, because in November, I got news for you. I believe they're all gone.
Yeah. You think every one of them?
Every one of them.
Wow.
They better because the Republican Senatorial Committee called me last week. They wanted a donation. And I said, you're kidding me, right? Oh, no. I says, in other words, the money I'm going to send you, you're going to divvy it up to those rhinos. I said, why should I send you money? Until they're gone, don't bother calling me.
What you got to do is support the person independently. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do not support the Republican Party. I support the individual that I want to see get elected and help.
Yeah. Folk turn to the horrible situation in the Ukraine. You know, I think it's becoming... Well, first of all, Biden is going to get over there Thursday. He claims
he's... What's he going to do?
Huh?
What's he going to do?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. It's a photo op. But he's going to go over to... Apparently, he's also going to slide over to Poland. He's going to go to Brussels, Belgium, first of all. Then he's going to go over to Poland. It'll be a photo op, apparently. In the meantime, Ukraine is being reduced more and more to rubble every day that we get up. We hear more bad news. Theaters.
Paul,
go ahead.
The whole world should be disgusted. Seeing innocent children and civilians being killed, and the bully keeps going, and they're all afraid of him. Oh, World War III, World War. There ain't gonna be no World War III.
Yeah.
Get rid of the guy. Do what's got to be done. I've never seen one man. And the world, all afraid of one person.
Yeah.
Think about the power this guy made himself have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and it's showing you what little power these other leaders have. Nothing.
If I were the rest of, like, I don't know why they don't put a UN peacekeeping force in Ukraine. Why not?
Because it'll start World War III. They're afraid of World War III.
You know, in the meantime, Putin is now threatening to drop chemical weapons. He's got a supersonic, or he's almost got like a missile capable of carrying a nuclear weapon. I can't remember what they're calling it now.
Hypersonic.
Hypersonic, yeah. So he'll do everything. You know, it's like somebody said, if Putin was like a crocodile and Biden was like somebody standing on an island and doing nothing... You're doing nothing because you hope the crocodile eats you last.
Putin is like a pit bull, and Biden's like a chihuahua.
Yes.
He's making a lot of noise, but doing not a thing.
Exactly.
You know, the thing is, these people, they're letting Ukraine be destroyed, totally destroyed. And this guy is getting away with it. He is actually getting away with what he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's doing a damn thing about it.
I think somebody needs to take him out. I really do.
I don't care to do it. Get me over there. I'll do it.
I know you will. If we can sneak you into the Kremlin there, you know, get in there.
What they got to do, they just got to pop something in the middle of Moscow, get the Russian people all worked
up. Well, now, Andrew, you're big about dropping a little bomb there and killing a lot of people, but why can't we just kind of do it stealth? Precision.
Well, you got to do it where he is. Got to do something, period. You can't just sit there and watch this happen, because that's what we're doing. We're going about our life. How would you like it if you seen your child get killed by these people?
Of course, of course.
Coming in there. Let's be real. And they let it. The European people are so, they disgust me. They really do. They have no guts whatsoever. They didn't have it in World War II. They don't have it now. They never did have it. They've been living off America since World War II.
And not only that.
Well, they don't have the power that we have, right? They don't have the nuclear weapons necessarily that we have. As an individual country, you know what I mean, going up against Russia, they what would you do if you were the president of France? You know, what would you do?
France has always been weak, Paul.
I know. France in particular. But there's
are the worst.
Remember,
and the Italians are right
French?
Behind them, believe me.
Go ahead, Angela.
Remember the Vichy French?
Yes.
What did they do, right?
Yeah, they were supportive of Germany, right.
So, you know, the thing is, when you get a powerful dictator like the way Adolf Hitler was and this guy Putin is, the people fall to pieces. And then it takes the United States, right? I mean, like say, before World War II, we were an isolationist country. Everybody was saying it's Europe's war. What happened? Eventually, we were sucked into the war.
Well, of course. Now, if and you know that if one of our territories was bombed, obviously, so right. We declare war on Japan. As soon as we declared war on Japan, Hitler declared war on the United States. So we got sucked into the European theater. It was an excuse for us to get into the European theater, too.
Right, but you see, Hitler didn't want to declare war against the United States. It took him 3 to 4 days to decide to declare war against the United States. He didn't want Japan to attack the United States. He kept telling them, don't do it. We're not ready yet. And he did.
Yeah.
He waited 3 to 4 days later. Then he declared war on him.
He did, right. Well, go ahead, Andrew.
Bob, I just said, I just forgot what I was going to say.
No problem. We're talking about World War II.
A senior moment.
That's all right. It seems like it's going to take something huge to get the United States involved. And these other countries in Europe, by themselves, individually, whether it's France, and you mentioned Italy, and, you know, any of these other countries. I mean, you know who's got some guts is Poland. Poland is right on the border. Go ahead.
What you got to remember about America today is we are not as strong as we were when Trump was president. You know why? Now we have nothing but woke generals, okay, controlling it. And we don't have any of our good military generals are gone. They all left when this mandates for the shots, and probably a quarter of our great military people were gone. We have a woke army, Paul.
No, I agree with you.
Okay,
you know, we forget about the world stage. When we elected Biden, everybody was so concentrated on, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like the way he acts. But Donald Trump went around the world. He had the energy to go around the world, meet with all of these people, and kind of keep them in their place. Not Biden. In fact, he turned his back on the international political situation. Go ahead.
A good example is this New York Times thing. That came out and says, now it's real, this and that. Yeah, sorry, you cannot have like 2 and 3 weeks voting and everything like that because that swayed the election. People, they should just have one day to vote and that's it. I mean, you can't, you know, this influenced the election and it's wrong.
I agree. We should have only one day to vote in this country and not have all of this mail-in voting across the country and the worry and concern. Even if it's 100% accurate, nobody knows whether it's accurate or not because there's no way of verifying it.
Right. And the thing is, this 2-3 weeks of voting and drop boxes and this, that, it's a bunch of BS. Racism, this whole 9 yards, is BS. All you have to do is use the argument. Like the New York Times, you know when they say the pen is mightier than the sword, right? The media?
Yeah.
This is what it is. This is what it's all about. The media influenced the election. And people would probably not have voted for Biden if they knew all this was happening.
If they had a chance to vote again right now, I guarantee you they wouldn't have voted for Biden.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
No question about that.
Or when President Trump said that they cheated this and that, that's what he meant. They cheated. They actually cheated with this election.
Very frustrating.
The money with everything he has said so far.
Yeah, this guy Biden is a mediocrity. He's not up to the job. He's the worst possible guy for what's going on right now. We all know that.
So
even the Democrats know that.
Paul, the Democrat Party is just like him. His whole administration sucks. You tell me who he's got good on his administration. Give me one.
Let me think. I can't think of anybody.
Listen, you know his health advisor made woman of the year. Come on.
Yes.
You know, the thing is that 32%.
Am I right or wrong?
No, I agree with you.
The population.
The world's laughing at that. They see the picture of this Mamaluk as woman of the year. And here he is, an admiral in the military, and wearing his high heels, shoes, and his panties.
Well, I don't know. He looked rather attractive to me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. My goodness. You guys are just making...
Bill for you right now.
Hey, listen, guys. Thanks so much. Got to run, but always a pleasure. Angelo, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, quite well.
Have a good day,
Paul. All right, thanks, Andrew.
Have a good day.
Okay,
good
buddy.
Bro.
Okay, bye-bye. I don't know. They make me laugh sometimes. We're going to take our final break. It'll be a short one because we got to get back. We got to talk about a couple of things, including the Pope expanding the role of women at Vatican City.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Well, the Pope, by the way, has been saying a few things. Not that it makes any difference. You know, what is a Pope going to say? Every time there's a war somewhere, the Pope says, you know, how terrible it is. And, you know, he speaks as he does. Nobody seems to listen. Needless to say, not the combatants. Anyway, a new Vatican Constitution published over the weekend opens the way for women to run some of the offices at the Vatican City. Some of the, you know, all of them up until now have been run by men. Apparently, this is a latest move by Pope Francis to expand the presence of women at the Vatican. And it would seem to me that that is a good thing. Let's see here. It says, women will now get more roles in senior management. The new constitution of the Roman Curia, which is the church's central administration at the Vatican, stresses the need for the involvement of lay women and lay men, even in the roles of government and responsibility. I've always thought, and I'm a Catholic, I've always thought that women should be allowed, first of all, that priests should be allowed to marry. That's number one. I think it would open up the opportunity for more men to consider becoming priests in the Catholic Church. I don't think celibacy is a good thing. And I think, you know, I've never had any problem with women saying Mass, baptisms, and giving Holy Communion. So, Ed, I don't know if I don't even know if you're Catholic. Are you Catholic, Ed?
No.
Okay. Do you have any thought on it? Do you think let me ask you this. Do you think that priests should be allowed to marry and still be priests?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, well, for one thing, I mean, I don't know, it's a fine line to draw. Asking somebody to go their entire life, you know, without, you know, that's part of life. I mean, it's
without the biological and suppressing the biological.
Every species on the planet does that, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Exactly right. I don't like it. Not a good thing.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
Okay. And then we have, you know, let's be honest. You get a lot of gay men that end up becoming priests.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happens. All right, it is time for our top 10. And if you remember on Friday, we did the top 10 most affordable cities. Do you remember what the most affordable city was, Ed? I bet you don't.
Oh, geez.
That's all right.
You asked me what I had for breakfast.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And this comes, by the way, from Good Hire. It's a background screening software company. It examined several things in its list, including wage growth, unemployment rate, job growth, job openings, rental prices in the community, real estate prices of homes, and per capita income. Okay? So here we go. These are the least affordable top 10 Good Hires cities. Number 10, McAllen, Texas. I'm not even sure if it's near Houston or it's near Dallas or where the heck it is. Do you know where it is by any chance?
No.
Okay. Well, it's not affordable, so don't worry about it. Number nine. I know where this one was. My brother used to work there for a few years in the aviation industry. Rockford, Illinois. That's out west of Chicago, about 75 or 80 miles west. Number eight. Well, no kidding. New York City. Well, we all know New York City is horribly expensive. Number seven. Now, this one kind of surprised me. El Paso, Texas. El Paso, Texas. I wonder why it's expensive there and with all of the things going on. Anyway, number six. Number six is Modesto, California. And I'm trying to think. I think it's in Southern California, but I am not sure. All right, number five. Shreveport, Louisiana. Now, that's an area, an oil and energy state, and Shreveport's very big with all of that. And I do not understand it, but apparently if you go there, it's very expensive. Number four, Bakersfield, California. That is indeed in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And I don't, there's a lot of California actually on here if you want to be.
You're surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Everything's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
What's gas out there now, about $6?
It's well into the fives.
Yeah, not six.
Quite like 550.
Yeah, wow, terrible. Number three, another Texas town, Corpus Christi.
Wow.
By the way, that means
Texas.
Yeah, Corpus Christi. By the way, is Spanish for body of Christ. Yeah, Spanish and near the border. Okay, number two, Hartford, Connecticut. Hartford, you know that used to be a big. Home for insurance companies, Hartford, Connecticut in general, but Hartford in particular. All right, Ed.
I'll go with...
what do you think? What's the most...
Got to be in California somewhere, I'll put it that way.
Go for it.
I don't know. I'll say California. Los Angeles? I don't know.
Los Angeles is right.
All right, okay.
Yeah, Los Angeles, California is the worst, least affordable city. Least affordable. Hey, we got a few extra minutes. I hope, if my clock is right. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you about the baseball season. We were just talking before the show started that the exhibition season has started.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand from the Rays that they are very, they're going to be competitive this year again, right?
I hope so. I mean, we say that every year.
Yeah, but they are.
Yeah, I know. They had a pretty good turnover again, but they say they worked the system. Got new guys ready to go. We'll see what happens.
A lot of pitchers
are healthy that we lost last year coming back. So
they always land on their feet, and I think they've got the idea correct.
They've got
the best youth
farm system.
Yes, and youth.
They've got the right people in the right places.
They got
know baseball, and they're the ones that are bringing them up from the farm league.
Yeah.
So.
And they have a low payroll, and God love them. Yep. I mean, they are, they're not the lowest payroll.
Down the street, the Blue Jays, with their stadium, they'll actually be able to have, for the first time ever, a capacity crowd.
Yeah. We should tell COVID. Everybody that here in, where is it, Dunedin, the Blue Jays play their spring training games. Yeah.